G'day, I'm Irk, and welcome to episode 355 of IrkPod, coming to you from Gongbi Port in China, just on the Chinese side of the Macau-Chinese border. I am standing in front of a sign that says, "The entrance of non-Hong Kong and Macau residents." So, technically speaking, does that mean that Chinese residents also have to go that particular way down that particular aisle? Or do they go to the other sign which says, I don't know, says something in Chinese? Interestingly, it says 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. So I'm not sure if that's AM to PM or if this is just a peak line or whatever, or the border closes at 8 o'clock. Which is a bit interesting, because on the other side at Macau, it said that the border was open until 11 p.m. Or this building was open until 11 p.m. I'm not going to take the risk. I'm going to head back shortly. But the question is, would I come back to China? Having said that, of course, this is 0.1% of China, and everyone's experiences of China would be different. Having said that, no, I'm not necessarily in a rush to come back to China. I'm not in a rush to come back to Hong Kong, nor am I in a rush to come back to Macau. Well, apart from tonight, that is. Out of all the Asian places that I've been to so far, keeping in mind that I do get to see a fair bit of Asian culture at home, of course, out of Japan or Tokyo and surrounds, this part of China, Hong Kong and Macau, out of all of those, I'd like to go back to Japan someday. I'm not saying that, you know, that's going to be the next trip or anything. If I was going to do the whole Europe thing again or go back to the UK, I would do the break up the middle thing, in each direction. Of course, on the way over, I came via Japan, and on the way back, I'm back via Hong Kong. If I was to do that again, I would go back probably via Japan, maybe in both directions, or if I wanted to split it up a bit, maybe Singapore, Bangkok, Bangkok maybe. You know, somewhere like that. That's on the quote-unquote kangaroo route. But yeah, I might even go back via China. Japan. I'd probably go back via Japan in both directions. I know it's a lot cheaper to fly to Japan than what it is to China. And, I did really like the Japanese people and the Japanese way of life. There's a lot to be said for it. And I think that I'd enjoy it more. Well, I'd probably enjoy it more if I liked Asian food, but I'd also probably enjoy it more if I was there for longer. Like, a week was a good taste. You know, it's not that long that, you know, you get there and you don't like it for the first few days. Well, you've only got a couple of days before you have to leave again. Whereas if I was originally going to go to Japan for a month and then, you know, absolutely hate it after a week, well, I'd still be stuck there for another 3 weeks. Still, there is a horde of people coming across into China from the Macau side as I head back. And I dare say, if this is the way that it's going to be on the Macau side of the border, if there's going to be a Hong Kong line, a Macau line, and an everyone else line, I might be going okay here. But we'll see how we go. Only a short time. Once I made the decision to go over, I didn't have a lot of time, and I wasn't going to spend a lot of time over there. If I had had the idea sooner. Like, I just wanted to find out the premise of this border gate thing. And I definitely have found out the premise of it. From the time that you go into the building on the Macau side and the time you walk out on the Chinese side, you probably walk a kilometre. And as I said earlier, I had no idea sort of what to expect. I probably would have been a bit unrealistic to expect, like, dirt road and Chinese poverty. But then again, you never know. There is a bit of poverty around. There's a whole heap of beggars trying to get some last-minute coinage out of you before you pass back over. I'm about to enter the customs hall again, so I will have to stop very shortly. On one side there's looks to be pretty much the same sort of setup as the time before. One or two lines for foreigners and Chinese nationals on the other side, so I'll probably get through pretty quick. So I'll talk to you from probably the Macau Ferry.
G'day, I'm Erk from Channel Erk and Insomnia Radio Australia. And what happens if I add a little bit of this?
Oh, I waited too long for my love to come home as the sea turned to serpents and foam.
And a little bit of this.
Let me breathe, 'cause I'm drowning in your shadow. Let me leave.
And a little bit of this. And a little bit of this.
Where's the sound to cure the silence pending? Where is she?
And a little bit of this.
Tell me the truth. Just tell me the truth. There is a monster.
And a little bit of this. Channel Erk presents Erk FM International, quality overseas music down the pipes and into your ears every Wednesday on Erk FM and Channel Erk. Great international music. ChannelErk.com.
Welcome back to episode 355 of Erk Pod. Coming to you now from the ferry back to Hong Kong. I made it through Chinese departures into Macau arrivals okay. I was standing in the one and only foreigners line waiting to leave China when one of the border protection guys came up and said, "Excuse me, sir, would you like to come to a new line?" And so I went to a new line, probably bypassing about 12 separate people. On the way over into China, they had lots of different rows, as I said before, for people leaving Macau heading back to China. And what they were doing on occasion, they opened an extra visitors lane on two separate occasions, and there was a stampede of people. Some people almost got squashed in between the barriers that they've got for each line. It was like a stampede of people just rushing to get over to join this new line. And the way I look at it, there's absolutely no rush in those sort of situations, especially if you're only jumping through the first hoop. At that stage, at Macau, leaving Macau, heading for China, where those people were stampeding to get into the second, into the new line. That was only the first step that they had to jump through. You can understand it more to a point if it was the last hoop that they had to go through. But then again, you know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 5 minutes here is not really going to make much difference, really, when it comes down to it. We may or may not be about to have the safety demonstration. So I don't really see the point in rushing in those particular circumstances. I just stayed where I was. As it was, I was halfway down a line. There was no way I could have got out anyway. And so I was quite happy to sit there. But on the way out of China and back into Macau, on the way back, leaving China, very easy. On the way coming back into Macau, very easy. Just had to fill in another inbound passenger card, outbound passenger card. I was just given an inbound passenger card for Hong Kong. You'd think that scanning the passport every time and typing stuff into the computer would be enough. So you'd think in this day and age. But for some people, they still insist on the inbound and outbound passenger cards. No idea why. So back into Macau, no problem at all. I found my way to the bus terminal, and it was quite ironic because the bus terminal that I needed to get off originally when I was on the first bus, it was directly below the border gate building. So all I needed to do, not that I knew at the time, was to get off the bus and I would have been at border gate. And then I probably would have gone, if I had have realised that and had have done that straight at the time, I probably would have went straight to China from there. But then again, I was able to go ahead and walk around Macau and all that sort of thing. They're doing a safety demonstration and an overview of the vessel that we're on the screen. No, thank you. They're just doing a standard
pre-departure safety boarding and all of that safety demonstration and all that on the screen. They've just got the Chinese version on the screen at the moment. I did have to laugh when I was on the when I was catching the helicopter over before. It was funny because they were showing the same sort of video that they're showing now, and they were showing how to put on a seatbelt on the helicopter, which is quite important on this particular helicopter. It was a four-point harness like you'd find on a racing car, and so basically instead of being just over the shoulder and also around your waist like in a car, or instead of being around your waist only like on an aircraft, this one is not only from each side but it's also from over each shoulder, and it all does up in a central buckle, hence the name of four-point harness. It would have actually been interesting had it have been a five-point harness, as found in some race cars, because the member of staff giving the demonstration was wearing a rather short skirt. For those of you who aren't aware, the fifth point is basically between your legs. So you've got the 2 points over the shoulders, two from either side and one from between your legs that comes up and all buckles in the central position, basically over where your belly button is. A few years ago now, when I was a navigator in car rallies, we had a 4-point harness in the car, and so each and every time I had to get out of the car, I was a navigator, so I had to get out of the car to go to the time control points and fill in all the paperwork and all that sort of stuff to tell the officials what time we started, what time we finished, and they worked out how long we took. You know, it's a lot simpler to get out of a normal car seatbelt or an aircraft seatbelt compared to a 4-point harness. And luckily for me, the two cars that I were in didn't have a 5-point harness. In the competition we were in, it actually wasn't compulsory to have the fifth point, but in some categories, for instance, V8 supercar, it is compulsory to have the fifth point. So it looks like we're having a bit of a demonstration about customs and border protection at the moment on the screen. Although I can't figure it all out, it's all in Chinese at the moment. I'm sure we'll get to the English version shortly. I think they're actually going through the limits that you're allowed to have things for duty free. And this isn't actually a bad idea. I've been saying this for ages, that they should be showing things like this before you get to wherever it is that you're going. And then that way you can't say that you haven't been warned. You know, if they do something like this, or they have something such as a show such as border security, I think it'd solve a lot of potential problems. Anywho, I'm going to stop there because I'm getting some interference, I think, from the PA system. And talk soon, most likely, or definitely from Hong Kong. But probably tomorrow now. By the way, it is the 20th of September, just in case I didn't mention it before. My last full day in Hong Kong, which I spent in Macau and partly in China. Oh, speaking of China, before I go, I think I said that on that visa I can go anywhere that I want. I read the visa again, and that's not the case. It is valid for the Zhenhai Special Economic Zone. So I don't know how big that zone is, but I can't go outside it, basically. or otherwise I would be a very bad Chinese visitor. So I'll have to do some research on that. Just curious to see how far I actually could have gone. But I was in the ZHUHAI, Zhuhai, I think they'd pronounce that, Special Economic Zone. Okay, back soon. Oh, we can have... I won't go through that, but now they're just going through the... we're just going through the requirements for duty-free and that sort of stuff. I actually didn't get any duty-free or anything like that. They've actually got an interesting... interesting system to get onto the ferry. You have your booking time. My booking time was at 10 p.m. However, if you get back earlier, or if you you leave yourself enough time and you get through immigration rather quickly, as I did, you can go in what's called a you can get through what they call a standby line. And so you wait in the standby line, and once everyone has boarded and is there at the correct time as boarded, if there's any extra seats, you can get onto the boat. And so as it turned out, my original departure was 10 p.m. I ended up being second in line for the standby for the 9:15 ferry, which is the one that I'm on. As it turned out, I could have got on to the 9 o'clock ferry that I was originally standing in line for, but I thought if I had a look inside and how many people were actually waiting to board that, and then how many people were in the standby line in front of me, I thought, well, we'll go from a maybe to a definite. But either so, I'm still in Hong Kong 45 minutes early. And so all that means is I'll be at the hotel room 45 minutes or so early. Not that everywhere's full on this boat anyway. Nowhere near full. Anywho, I'm going to stop here because I don't know what I can hear. What I can hear, I'm not sure how you can hear. But now's a good time to stop and talk to you from Hong Kong.
G'day, I'm Erk from Erk FM and Insomnia Radio Australia. And what happens if I add a little bit of this?
Curl my eyes out. Don't wanna see you anymore.
And a little bit of this. And a little bit of this. And a little bit of this.
Wake up, my dreams were so much harder.
And a little bit of this. Each and every Friday on Channel Erk, Erk FM Australia, quality Australian independent and unsigned music down the pipes and into your ears each and every Friday. IRC FM Australia, part of IRC FM and Channel IRC, channelirc.com.
Welcome back to IRC Pod episode 355. It is Wednesday the 21st of September 2011. It's the final, well, really tomorrow's the final day, but this is the culmination of the trip. I'm at Hong Kong International Airport. I've checked in. I have an exit row, which is awesome. I asked for it and I got it, and I didn't have to pay for it. So that now means that I've had exit rows with Qantas, KLM, Norwegian, and Ryanair. And I think I mentioned KLM, but in case I didn't mention KLM, KLM as well. So that is absolutely awesome. Got a nice seat on the way back, which is great. I know my friend Amy suggested to me ages ago, she says, "Oh man, on the way back you should get yourself into premium economy, you'll thank yourself later." Well, I haven't done that, but I have got myself an exit row, so that's going to be awesome. Rather nice airport, Hong Kong International. It is a relatively new airport. And as I might have mentioned before, they basically flattened two Hong Kong islands and they built out, reclaiming the land from the sea to create this massive airport. It's very open, very flowing, high roofs, lots of windows, so it's great once you get into the quote-unquote sterile area. You've got a great view of the planes, and depending on where you sit, you can watch the planes take off and all that sort of thing. It's rather dark now. It is just coming up to 7 p.m. local time, and so I have just over an hour, maybe an hour 15, before I actually board my Qantas flight QF128 from gate number 15. So it's a bit bittersweet, this moment in time, pun not intended. I've had an absolutely awesome trip, met a lot of great people and some great contacts that I'll be looking to keep in contact with and that sort of stuff. I'm happy because it's been a great trip. Had lots of fun, had lots of adventures, lots of stories. And I'm happy because I'm going home to my quote-unquote normal life. And in some ways, you know, that could make someone sad as well. You know, you've got a big adventure, you know, big build-up of over a year, planning for it, thinking about it. It's done now. And I can move on and go to the next bit. And the next bit, of course, is partially big changes for Channel IRC and IRC FM in particular, and also this show, of course. This show, once all these specials are out of the way, with this episode, come December, IRC FM is taking the Wednesday spot. And IRC Pod is moving to Thursdays. And if I don't feel like doing a particular show for a particular week, I won't be doing it. As I record this episode, I was due to put out an episode of IRC Pod today. I didn't. And no one seems to care. Which seems rather indicative of the whole IRC Pod thing, I think.
The music is definitely where it's at now, and I'll be definitely taking advantage of that. So I'm heading over in the general direction of my gate. I think I need to go upstairs to the spot that I wanted to. I could record some really great PA announcements from upstairs. The departure section is actually over two levels. You've got so many gates for the aircraft to depart from, so many shops, lots of restaurants. There's free Wi-Fi throughout the airport, which is great when I can get it to connect. There's also, in some places, free charging of your devices. And so that's cool. So I'm going to say that this is an absolutely awesome airport. And in fact, I dare say, I'd go as far to say that this is my favourite airport in the world now that I've been through. You know, on this trip, I've been through some great airports. I've been through Schiphol in Amsterdam. I went through Helsinki. Arlanda at Stockholm was good. Yeah, that was pretty good. And then, of course, you get the airport like in Hungary. Not so good. Stansted, not so good. Schoenfeld at Berlin, not so good. But this particular one, Hong Kong International, number one as far as I'm concerned. Okay. Now I'm in the food court section. Oh, I know where I have to go now. I'll be looking forward to going home and having some nice steak. Had a gorgeous bit of steak today. As a matter of fact, at one of the bars at the International Financial Centre Mall. That was rather cool. Checked out of the hotel, got myself a taxi. I was rather proud of myself, actually, the way I managed to pull the taxi over. It was almost as if I was pulling him over for a random breath test. Outside the hotel, they're doing some construction, and so they've got scaffolding everywhere. And interestingly, they use a lot of bamboo for their scaffolding here. And so immediately in front of the hotel, there was some scaffolding, and they'd created a clear zone around that. And so after that, there was a clear space where I basically stood. And I flagged one guy down, and I tried to indicate for him where to stop, and he just kept on going, so too bad for him, he didn't get the fare. So the next bike I saw coming, and luckily if you're driving through the centre of Hong Kong, the speeds aren't all that high, usually. I stood in the middle of the one lane road, and I basically flagged him into the car parking space and loaded up my stuff. It was a lot easier than the trip to the hotel, because I knew, with the benefit of hindsight and with the benefit of being in Hong Kong for a week, I knew where I was going, whereas when I arrived, I didn't know where I was going. I had a basic idea of the name of the hotel, and that turned out to be partially incorrect, because there's actually two hotels with the same name, or the same start of the name. And it was earlier in the day, so it was cooler than what it was when I arrived. And it was absolutely hot when I arrived. And so I thought, on the way back, you know, across the road from Central Station, my ass. You know, still relatively close to the station. Central Station actually wasn't the closest metro station. But Oh, thank God that beeping stopped. It's a one of those electric carts that people drive around the airport. And they're actually offering it as a shuttle service around the airport. You pay $60 Hong Kong, and the guy on the shuttle will actually drive you, like a golf cart, will actually drive you to the gate. And so there's, you know, room for some luggage. Well, you've only got hand baggage at this point anyway. So there's room for some luggage and three other people, because the guy needs to sit somewhere to drive it. I wonder if you'd offer him, you know, a bit more, if he'd actually let you drive. Pardon me. So if he wants 60 Hong Kong dollars, that's like $7.50 Australian. For what it is, you know, you'd have to be really, really lazy or really desperate, or your gate's right up the back of nowhere, for it to be worth it. At other airports, I wonder if they actually charge... Pardon me. I wonder if they actually charge, like, the disabled for that. Because I know at some airports, they have a similar service where they'll actually shuttle the disabled around, for instance. And it's actually a courtesy service. They don't charge you for it. So I wonder if they charge the disabled. Interesting, by the way, when it comes to charging, with the taxis in Hong Kong. Pardon me, I need a drink. I'm a bit dry. With the taxis in Hong Kong, they actually charge you for luggage. For anything that's not actually in... any light luggage that actually isn't in the car with you, they charge you $5 Hong Kong per bag. Pardon me, I really need a drink. They charge you $5 Hong Kong per bag. So, for me, it was only like a $20 Hong Kong trip, which isn't much at all. Really, I'm feeling fine. I've just got something in my throat that I'm trying to get rid of. And so I just need a shop with a short line that I can get into and get a drink. Yeah, it's only a short trip. Wouldn't even be half a kilometre from the hotel to the railway station. But with the way the taxi has to go, it's a little bit further. But having said that, with two large suitcases and a backpack with a broken zip, that is definitely worth it. It is absolutely worth it for the $20 Hong Kong plus the $15 Hong Kong baggage fee. You know, it's still five-fifths of F4. So it doesn't take a lot. And I'd rather, I'd rather do that than struggle the way I did before. You have to put some sort of value on your time and the physical sort of effort that you'd actually go to. Looks like I can't just get a simple Coke from a cafe to avoid the queue. So it was about $35 Hong Kong to get from the hotel to the airport express station. And so I was able to check my bags in early. They've got a dedicated check-in section actually at the airport station, which is about 20 minutes by high-speed train to the airport. So you can check in town. As long as you check in up to 90 minutes before the flight leaves the airport. Now, I think with things like security and immigration and that sort of thing. I think that's not enough time. But they say that check-in closes 90 minutes before the flight departs. So you check in at the you check in at the train station just like you would at the airport, and you you know, including things like excess baggage, and they even accept my my large bag with the broken handle that won't go down, and even with me opening the bag and going inside the bag and moving all the obstructions, for the life of me, I can't get that handle to go down. So I was expecting them to say, oh, well, your handle's broken, it won't go down, you'll have to go to the special luggage thing at the airport, and that would negate the advantage of downtown check-in. However, having said that, they were able to check it in there, and I was able to basically leave my bags downtown at the railway station, and somehow, I presume a truck, they would send them off to the airport, and so all I'd have to worry about is my cabin baggage. You go through immigration and security at the airport as usual. And so once you're checked in, you're basically checked in, so you don't have to go to the check-in counters at the airport, which I think is rather cool. It's a service that they do for people who buy a Airport Express ticket, or they use their Octopus card to pay for their trip on the Airport Express. Yes, that should be a good alternative. I just have to look through. I've spent most of my Hong Kong currency. Oh, that $5 or that $5. Oh, they've got a $5 coin. And it looks like, if you're familiar with the size of like an Australian 20-cent coin, it looks like they've actually welded two 20-cent coins together, and they've called that a $5 coin. And so the smallest note you can get is a $10 note here in Hong Kong, which is rather interesting. Wow, really? 16 Hong Kong dollars? Compared to about 7 Hong Kong dollars in a 7-Eleven? Really? I know things are usually a bit more expensive at a at an airport compared to anywhere else, but wow, that's some markup. That is, in Hong Kong dollars, that is basically double the price. Oh, there's another $5 coin. $5 coin, that just sounds so strange. Okay, so then three $5 coins and a $2 coin. Just going to get my drink, hang on. Oh, I can use my Octopus card. I find my pocket, I put my Octopus card in. There it is. Hello.
Hello, sir.
Just a drink, please.
On me?
Yes.
Okay. No.
Must be the wrong one.
Then how's the
We'll try that one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Juice.
What it is. Excuse me, please. Excuse me. Thank you. I've actually got two octopus cards. And of course you can use them. I was very surprised to be able to actually use the octopus card at the airport. I haven't seen any of the other shops have an octopus card reader at the till. Actually, should walk past McDonald's and see if I can see one. Yeah, I've actually got two octopus cards. I brought one originally, and then one day I was out, and I'd actually realised that I'd left the octopus card at the hotel. And so I just purchased another one. I needed to, that particular day anyway, I needed to put some credit onto the original card. On the original card, somehow, and I don't know how they've managed to allow this to happen, but on the first octopus card that I have a debit balance of minus $6 something. And so I got the new card, I topped it up, and I have been using the second card, which at the moment has 88 Hong Kong dollars on it, which, as I said, in realistic terms is 5 eighths. And so when I was going around, and I was doing all the touristy things the other day, going to the temple and whatnot. Oh yes, McDonald's do have the octopus card readers there. So I'm going to get some food while I'm here. I'm going to get some food shortly. You know, I made a transaction to get onto the bus to go to Tao. And the octopus reader on the bus said, oh no, you haven't got enough credit. So I had some change on me, had some coinage, and so I was able to give the bus driver the fare. And then I thought, oh well, the next time I'll be able to top up the octopus card was at Chung Tung at the train station. So I managed to get back there. I just used cash until I managed to just use cash until I top the card up. They actually do have credit cards here that have octopus in it, so you don't necessarily have to worry about topping up the card. And when I topped up the card, I found that I had a minus balance, and so that was strange, I thought. But as soon as I topped up, let's say for the sake of the maths, I topped up with 200 Hong Kong dollars. Obviously I was, say, $6 down. So they took the $6 first, and so that left me $194 in credit. And I've been using that to get around and that sort of thing. So it's very handy, the octopus card, and I hope our smart card works similar, that you can use it in shops. Like, you can use it at McDonald's, KFC, 7-Eleven, the shop there. And I've got the two octopus cards in my pocket. One's got the negative balance on it, one's got the positive balance, and I just put the wrong card on the reader. So that's why we had a bit of drama there, but other than that, no problem. So I've had a bit of a drink, so that's all good. Bit of reflection time on the trip, because this will be the this episode will be the last one that I'll record for ECPod for a while. I'll just let the episodes that are in the can catch up, and then after that I'll come back and I'll tell you about life while I've been back. And not only that, of course, I do have blasts from the past with my mum Judy that will be talking about the trip as well. So it's not as if I'm disappearing or anything like that. So yeah, highlights of the trip. Wow, there was a lot of them. And in no particular order. A lot of them were podcasting related. The pod crawl, meeting Dave and Caroline from the Bugcast was pretty cool. The trip to Liverpool was cool. Edinburgh and the festival up there, that was cool. The various train trips that I've been on. Great to be on some high-speed rail and to be able to say that the fastest now that I've been on a train is 300 kilometres an hour instead of 160. So there's a big difference there. But I've had lots of fun, even if it is the simple things, like finding some chicken that I like in a Japanese restaurant and being in a Japanese restaurant more in Hong Kong than when I was in Japan. But having said that, a lot of water's passed under the bridge since Japan, and I know I've said before that out of all the Asian countries that I've been to, I'd rather go back to Japan than anywhere else so far. It's hard to believe that it's over, folks. I'll get onto my plane soon. And it's... what is the flight time? I think it's about 9 hours. 9 hours flight time back. I'll just have a look on my TripIt application, which overall has been very, very good. I'll be looking forward to... getting my own SIM card back in the phone, using my own data again. When I get home, I'll be restoring my iPhone. 2055 QF128. 9 hours. 4,591 miles non-stop on a Boeing 747-400. I hope that... you know, it's a good flight home. I've got an exit row, so that definitely helps. Yeah, mixed feelings. Very mixed feelings. And more adventures coming up. Where am I going to go next? Who knows? Who knows? If it's just a short trip, you know, if I just want to have a break for a week or so, rather than, say, go to Melbourne or, you know, anywhere in Australia, I'd go to Japan for a week, just as a break. I'd do that. So much I haven't... well, then again, in a lot of areas, there's so much I haven't seen, although, then again, there's a lot that I have... lot that I have seen as well. So it's been a lot of fun bringing you everything. Of course, I can't have a recorder running 24 hours a day. I can't have a camera running 24 hours a day. Okay, I heard all that. Now I'm just waiting for the English part. Maybe that was an internal staff-only announcement that they didn't want anyone who's not Chinese to know about. Sounded like she was actually doing a sound check. Yep, yep, yep. Yep, yep. And so I was waiting for the English bit. I was waiting for the English bit and there was no English bit. It didn't come. oh man, how strange is it going to be not to be an ethnic minority anymore? I wouldn't say that it worried me, but yeah, it has been interesting, being in several places and definitely being the odd guy out, you know, and I'm not the smallest guy, so I stand out anyway. But it's really funny, yesterday, just reflecting on it, when I was walking to China from Macau and vice versa, I swear I was the only Caucasian guy in the terminal. And it was funny, after I passed through security today, a guy from the Hong Kong Tourist Board wanted to do a survey with me. And so he had something, I think it was a Palm Pilot or something like that on, and he had a list of questions that I could see in English, and then he also had them on the device. And so they basically want to know the usual sort of stuff, your demographics, how long you've been in Hong Kong, have you been anywhere else, you know, how did you find Hong Kong, did you get any help from any tourists, agencies or travel agencies or anything like that, you know, how did you get here, all that sort of stuff, have you been anywhere else, where exactly, you know, did you come from. And of course some of the questions were sort of flawed, because he didn't ask me how did I find the Hong Kong in the first place. You know, he was more interested in, had I been in any other countries in Asia before I arrived here? And I said, yeah, I went to China and Macau. And so he says, well, how did you come from China? And I says, well, I walked from China and then I got a ferry from Macau to Hong Kong. And so I'm not sure what category he put that into. You know, it's almost as if he thinks, okay, there's only going to be one mode of transport. You know, it's not going to be a combination. It is going to be, say, for instance, from China, just for the example. Okay, there's only going to be one mode of transport that you are going to use. So you're going to use a coach all the way, or you're going to use a train all the way, or you're going to fly all the way. He probably didn't think that I'd, you know, answer by saying, well, I walked, or I walked and then I caught a ferry, which is exactly what I did. So yeah, answered all the questions, and it was funny. I'm actually wearing a Medicast t-shirt at the moment, and on it it's got Medicast, and then underneath it it's got the Maltese cross for EMS. And he looks at the shirt and he goes, oh, do you work in EMS? And I was very surprised that he actually knew what EMS was, because that's one of the things that the paramedic industry has had and continued to have, an identity crisis. And yes, I was a bit surprised when, after asking me all these questions, and some of them I had no idea what he was talking about because he was talking so fast. Yeah, he actually asked me, am I in EMS? And then I remembered, oh, I'm wearing a Medicast EMS t-shirt. So maybe on my next trip, that's what I should do. Every time I go through airport security, I should be wearing some sort of fire brigade, fire department, or EMS shirt. And so my security, the trust in the security goes up a notch. Because it's funny. I've had, you know, lots of times where I've gone through security, and a lot of the times I've just been wearing normal t-shirts or my own Channel Oak shirts or whatever, and I've had my orange work backpack that I've used, and regardless of what they might have said at Stansted Airport, I dare say that, you know, if they see the bag going in and it's bright orange, they'll want to have a look at it for sure. Even if I do have nothing in it, and that has been the case where I've had absolutely nothing in it, it's been cleared on the x-ray, or so you would think, because they didn't find anything that they were after, but they still want to have a look at it and they still want to research me for a secondary examination. But I'm wearing an EMS t-shirt, I'm carrying a cabin bag rather than a backpack, straight through. Of course, I could have still been secondary searched. It just all depends on what the individual person working the x-ray machine and the person who's manning the metal detector, what they decide to do. But yeah, it just felt strange that went through absolutely no problem. No problem whatsoever. And my attitude is always the same when I'm going through the border security or the security. I've always, got my jacket off, my laptop in the bag, my pockets are always empty, I've got my belt off. I'm not like half the people that go through. Yeah. Well, I think I'll wrap up this little talky bit here. I've got a little bit of time to go before my departure, about 45 minutes before check-in, so that'll give me enough time to see if I can get back onto the free interweb. And also to have something to eat before I get onto the plane, because I don't know...
Attention please, passengers are reminded not to leave baggage unattended. Any baggage found unaccompanied will be removed. Please report any finding of unattended baggage to the nearby airport staff or security staff. Thank you.
No, okay, just a stand. Okay then, just a standard security announcement. So I wonder how I'll go with this flight. Should be fine. 9 hours, okay. We'll see what the Qantas solution for in-flight entertainment solutions is with passengers in emergency exit rows, unlike KOM where I basically had none. So we'll see how we go there. I'll probably just report in to end the episode when I get back, just to say in Sydney, hi, I landed. But yeah, I'm going to grab something to eat now, and actually brings back memories of my last flight under similar sort of circumstances, similar time of day, going back from LA to Sydney 2 years ago. And basically, as soon as we took off and the safety demonstrations and everything were done, I went to sleep because I'd been rushing around a little bit with the hire car, and then just waiting around for the departure, and then I thought I might as well try and get some sleep overnight. And then I woke up to a beautiful voice offering me chicken, and I thought I must have been dreaming, but it was actually the Qantas flight attendant asking me, "Sir, would you like some chicken?" And I'm like, "Hell yeah, a beautiful woman who brings me chicken." What can I say to that? I said to her as a joke, I said, "Did you just say the C word?" And she sort of gave me a funny look, and I said, "Chicken?" Yes, I did say, and she must have been relieved. Yeah, I said chicken. Yes, chicken please. So I'm going to preempt what the food may or may not be like. I might not like it. Surprise, surprise. Especially coming from an Asian country, they might try and serve me Asian food again. So I'm going to have something before I take off. So we'll be back in Australia very, very soon.
G'day, I'm Erk from Erk FM and Insomnia Radio Australia. And what happens if I add some of this? and I mix it with some of this. And I mix it with some of this. And some of this. And some of this.
Wait, if you want me to scream out something, I won't take this. Leaving you open for something new isn't real. No, what believe?
Add all those together and more, and you will have the latest podcast on Channel Irk, Irk FM Metal Monday.
Hello, I am back from the Hong Kong. They let me back into country. They not even open my bag. They let me in. I very surprised. Hey, I'm back. I'm back. Yes, I'm back in Australia after having arrived from Hong Kong. Couple of hours sleep on the plane on the way over. That was fine. Somehow, you might remember me talking about my big bag with the handle stuck in the upright position. Well, somehow, Qantas managed to break it, and so it is now in the broken position. And I have my second broken handle for the trip. And, oh, they must have used some force to be able to snap it off. I must have used some terrible force. I'm just waiting to be picked up. And then I should go and see the information people to see who I can complain to. Oh, Qantas Baggage Services. That's who I should complain to. Oh, because, you know, I could not get this handle down. Even with sticking my arm deep into the bag, removing all the obstructions, I could not get this handle down. Now, the handle is broken. It is in my hand. There's chips of the coating on the top of the handle that I've done. So what did they do to this bag? Did they just break the handle so it could get onto the plane okay? EasyJet didn't break it. KLM didn't break it. They managed. But Qantas, unfortunately, they didn't manage. Nice flight though, nice and smooth. I managed to watch the in-flight entertainment in my emergency exit row. They had the monitor which came up from between the seats, so that was awesome. Watched a bit of Modern Family, watched a bit of The Simpsons, and I watched an interesting documentary about what happened in 2010 when that ash cloud from the massive volcano in Iceland with a massive unpronounceable name went off, and some of the effects that it had on some of the Qantas passengers and some of the conditions that the passengers and staff had to put up with. So that was cool. Arrived on time, straight through border security, no problem. And I did not even have to get my bag x-rayed. Normally they x-ray your bag coming back through quarantine, but they ran the sniffer dog over it, and sniffer dog passed it. So the bag wasn't opened, bag wasn't x-rayed, sniffer dog, and here I am. Went to Vodafone, got my Australian SIM, got a new Australian SIM card put in. Saves me looking for the old one. I know the old one's in my bag, but saves looking for it. So I am reconnected and just waiting to be picked up. So it's been fun. Glad to be back. Sydney's turned on a nice day weather-wise for me by the looks of it. Couple of hours sleep on the plane. Feeling okay considering. Rather pissed that Qantas managed to break my handle. This is a new bag that I purchased when I was in Liverpool. And of course, now that I can't claim this under a warranty or a guarantee or anything, and I'm not exactly going to take it back to Liverpool, but now that Qantas have done this to me, there's no way I can claim this as a warranty thing. You know, because it covers things like, being broken and that. While I could say that the handle was stuck for you know, it was stuck for weeks, the fact that the handle's now broken, I'm pretty much screwed. Anywho, thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed all of the content that I've given to you, mainly via ERKPod, but also ERKFM and to a lesser extent Blast from the Past, over the last 2.5 months. It's been a lot of fun. We'll be taking a break from ERKPod until we basically catch up with the episodes, and it'll be all good. Of course, you'll be able to hear me talk about the trip and everything like that on Blast from the Past as well. So from Terminal 1, Sydney International Airport, I'm Erk, and I'm home. Great to be back, great trip, but great to be back also. And for the final time, for a while at least, on ERKPod, in the actual terms of actually recording something, good night, Interweb.